since 1988.
On the 16th, everybody's supposed to clear out of the Capitol. We'll see if that actually happens, because, of course, Senator Harry Reid is threatening, if a few things aren't done, that there's going to be some people eating their Christmas dinner in Washington.
Yeah, well,
in Washington, D.C. So you can hear in the background, she is chomping at the bit to jump onto America Tonight. We are always so thrilled to have her, Ellen Ratner from Talk Radio News. Ellen, as you said to me, you couldn't wait to jump on the air because there's so much going on in Washington.
Right.
And we
there
said the 16th, what about that? What about the 16th? The date's not going to, that's going to roll past, isn't it?
Very much so. And you know, I think what's going to happen, the president, you know, everybody's giving the president a lot of grief for this vacation, but how much grief is there really going to be? Because, in fact, he's saying, hey, look, guys, I'm happy to stay home until you get this done.
Ooh.
Right?
Yeah, so, you know, that's kind of a put up or shut up. You want to go open those presents, you better hurry up and make something happen. Or spend time with your family anyway and head for the other parts of the country. And the big fight, of course, is over the taxes, the whole thing about that and what's going to happen there. And, you know, Victorian has talked with me about this, and you and I have talked about this a bunch. What's your gut feeling tell you on this? Are they going to extend this payroll tax cut or what?
I think they're going to have to extend it. I think the idea that people are going home for Christmas and they're going to say, okay, guys, you've been used to paying less than your payroll tax, but now you're going to have, you know, Merry Christmas, it's $1,000 more, and thank you very much, it's an election year. I just don't see it.
Yeah. As I said, we're going to scatter shoot in a couple of different directions here because so much is happening on the Hill. This was just crazy, and I'm sure this was a little bit of gossip. Kind of shocker that Randy Babbitt, the FAA chief, gets arrested for DUI, so he's done. He had to resign. What was the scuttlebutt there? I'm sure some people felt sad. I thought he was pretty popular with some.
He was very well liked. He had been a former pilot. But it's really quite shocking. I mean, they ride these pilots about drinking, and so it's really quite shocking that this is what happened.
Yeah.
But he had no choice. You cannot be head of a transportation thing. Not like, you know, you can send him to the local employee assistance from a consumer agency. He was in charge of transportation.
Yeah, you can't do that. No way. I agree with you. And how about this story? The White House didn't get enough votes for their nominee for the Consumer Bureau chief?
Well, you know, this has been a big contention because he basically had a dump out of one Consumer Bureau chief, sort of landed on this one as a, you know, as a compromise candidate, and now she's having trouble.
Yeah, man. And then one last thing. We talked about this off the air a little bit. And, of course, I'm from that New Jersey, New York area. And a lot of people in New Jersey are still buzzing about the former governor of that state, John Corzine, and the fact that now he's going to have to trot up to the Hill a couple of times in the next couple of days. He's been subpoenaed to testify. And apparently they've got all kinds of goods on him on, you know, what was going on in his years with the IMF, the collapse rather of the MF Global, what happened there. And I think he's going to drag a few people in there with him.
Well, I think I would not be surprised, but the point is that, you know, this is a guy that made a lot of money, ran for senator, won, ran for governor, won, and then he goes back into the private sector making millions of dollars and making bad decisions. I mean, people like that are supposed to be doing good works.
Yeah, no kidding. And, you know, what they're really interested in is they want to know where that $1.2 billion is in the customer money that they can't find. So they think that, of course, it was used some other place to keep the company floating before it went bankrupt. And that's what he has to explain, because he joined the MF Global group after he lost his gubernatorial reelection bid. So, wow, interesting soap opera playing out there.
Well, yes, but, you know, this is a guy that had won. I mean, he was a very smart guy.
Yeah.
And it's shocking that somebody, and he had wealth. It's not like he needed to make a couple millions.
Yeah, yep. Ellen Ratner, Talk Radio News, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight. We'll talk to you again.
Thank you.
All right. Also from the world of politics, we keep talking about these debates. And there's a big debate at the end of December. As you know, Donald Trump is moderating it. How about this? Mitt Romney says, no thanks to the Donald. A lot of people thought that for sure that he'd be a shoo-in. Why wouldn't Mitt Romney do it? But he decided to bail on this one. And Romney's now the third guy to say no to the invitation to participate, right? Former Utah Gov John Huntsman and, of course, Texas Congressman Ron Paul both said earlier this week, nah, thanks, we're going to skip this debate. They questioned the seriousness of it as Trump being the political moderator, saying, yeah, I guess we're going to miss this December 27th date. Minnesota Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann hasn't said whether she's going to do it or not. Rick Perry, the Texas governor, former Pennsylvania Senator Rick Santorum, and the former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich, all will be on stage at the debate, however. And, you look, here's the thing. With all the requests for all these debates, it's inevitable that they're going to bail. They're going to have to bail on some of them. So I think Romney's probably smart to do it. Why bother there? And same thing with Ron Paul. I agree, I think, with both of them deciding not to do it. You got the 10th and the 15th. They're adding in a whole bunch of others. They're looking at January. I mean, how many debates are they going to do, especially when you get closer to the primaries and the caucuses, because they got to be out there in New Hampshire and Iowa and all these other places to, frankly, talk to people, shake some hands, shake the trees, the money trees, and get some votes going. They need momentum. And too many debates could be a bad thing if it's mixed in at the wrong time. So probably not logical for Romney and not logical for Paul either. But not everybody agrees with that. Of course, Trump says, listen, we've set our calendar. We're ready to go. I don't see why the candidates wouldn't jump on board. He says it seems logical to him that if he were behind in the polls, especially in Iowa, South Carolina, or Florida, that you should participate in the debate. And, you know, Trump says, look, I understand why Romney said he didn't want to do it. Because if you followed what Trump is saying, he hasn't had great things to say about Romney anyway. And he is questioning the seriousness of throwing a guy like Trump into the middle of these debates. Other things that are happening here on America Tonight that we're going to talk about this hour include our man in Hollywood. It wouldn't be Tuesday if we weren't going to the left coast to talk to Stephen Chouhet. He's got some interesting things this time around. He always has something up his sleeve, to be certain. He's one of the best storytellers, period, that I have ever spoken to. And while all of this is happening, we're going to talk about some of the Justice for All moments lately in our courtrooms. Was justice really served? If you talk to the former governor of Illinois, Rod Blagojevich, he faces up to 20 years in prison for corruption. He's saying the possible penalty is too excessive, and he's asking the judge to show mercy. Oh, see, now he's in the panic stage. What are the five stages before sentencing? The very last one, panic. Stay with us. We're kicking the can down the road. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Hi, this is Peter Kronschnabel from Midas Resources. As you know, the federal government spending is at an all-time high, and inflation will be a direct result of the spending policy. European government and central bank spending policies have put the European Union on the brink of collapse. What are you doing right now to protect yourself financially? Are your assets working for you or against you? One thing is certain. Having physical possession of gold and silver will guarantee that no matter what happens to our economy or the dollar, your investment will never be worthless. And it will protect you from that hidden tax, inflation. If you've been thinking about investing in physical possession of precious metals or having an IRA in precious metals, I can help. Call me today, Peter Kronschnabel at 800-686-2237, extension 108. And I'll take the time to personally put together a portfolio designed to protect what you've worked so hard for. Call 800-686-2237, extension 108. You've worked hard your whole life, and I want to work hard for you. Call Peter at 800-686-2237, extension 108.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Before we skirted aside for a few moments here on ATN, that Blagojevich, who is the second consecutive Illinois governor convicted of corruption, remember, former Republican governor George Ryan is serving time right now in a federal prison, is in that fifth stage that I mentioned, the panic stage. First, it's shock, and then you go from there. By the time you get to the fifth one, you're just convinced that it's going to be okay until you get closer to the sentencing day. So what will happen on Wednesday is Blagojevich is expected to address the court. His attorney's probably going to read from letters written by Blago's family who are begging the judge to be lenient. I'm not sure how this plays out because a jury returned 17 guilty verdicts. So what's the fair deal here? The feds are asking that he get 15 to 20 years. Boy, he is hoping. Certainly his wife and daughter, they are hoping that it's much less than that. But I wouldn't be surprised, especially looking at Chicago-style justice, I wouldn't be surprised if he gets at least that bottom number, the 15, to satisfy the prosecution. I think the push is on for that to happen, and Blagojevich didn't do himself any favors by calling out the president and some other people during the case, trying to get others to come forward, and then the whole thing with the tapes and everything else. So he's in trouble. He's in trouble. I think he's going to be that example guy, if nothing else. And you already have one governor in prison, and everybody looks at Chicago as dirty pool, dirty business when it comes to governing, right? So I don't think there's going to be leniency. I don't think so. He'll try, but I don't think that's going to happen. Uh-uh. You know, I noticed this today, and this is something that affects every single one of us. I always say America Tonight is like the buzz in your backyard. What are we all talking about? And it does come back to the economy. Here it is Christmas, and lots of people are spending lots of money, but there are still so many, these food pantries. You see the lines, and they're around the block. But it's not the normal, I'm going to say the normal crowd that are lining up to get something from the pantry. You've got people that were the so-called middle class that now, with their hats pulled down over their eyes, which nobody should be embarrassed by doing that because they're set up for a reason, especially when various charities and nonprofits are doing that. But they're there in line trying to get whatever canned food, goods, whatever, bread that they can get. So it comes back down to that. And the gas prices going in the opposite direction have helped a lot of people because, frankly, you have the carting kids around thing. The average commute for most people is 40 minutes each way. So the price of gas has dropped. But you know what? And this is the interesting thing. It is still almost 40 cents higher than it was a year ago. The average price of regular gasoline, $3.29. So you keep, I always say this, you want to know where gas is going? Keep watching crude oil prices and what direction you see for a barrel. How much is it a barrel? You get to 100 plus, and then I think it's going to get scary. I always think it's interesting, and I love the check of the low prices. If you have a really, really low price story, I want to hear it. Like you were listening to some rock radio station for 15 days straight so that they would call out your name so you could get a free gas card or something. Seriously, that's a smart thing to do, and a lot of morning shows do that. Anyway, in Albuquerque, New Mexico, I used to live there, $2.84 was the amount. And that's the lowest. That's the city with the lowest average. San Francisco, I've said this before. In fact, I think I said it in one of our previous shows, $3.67. And, you know, you go up and down the list, and it's always the same thing. The West Coast gets slammed. There are some states in the East that are okay. And then in the Midwest, sometimes you'll find your lower amount, or in the Southwest, like Albuquerque, or even a smaller town, sometimes you'll find that as well. But with the holidays and travel, even though it's 40 cents higher than it was last year, it seems better because we have that magic number in our heads where it's just too much, and we get used to a certain number, and then that becomes the norm. So it gets over $2 and we can't believe it. It gets over $3 and we're horrified. Then it gets closer to $4 and we're all ready to walk, turn in our SUVs, carpool with the three neighbors we don't even know their names, whatever we have to do, because boom, we've had it. That's our high-level mark, so we're going to do something about it. Then notice it always dips down just in the right amount of time. Whoops, it's going in the opposite direction. It's a wild game. It's what we get used to. It's a new reality. You know, you keep hearing people talk about this word in different ways they use it, new reality. So the new reality is anything just over three, and certainly anything under three, makes you feel like you got a great deal. Oh, what a great deal. How cheap is gasoline? When in reality, not really. Not if you look at last year and you keep comparing how it clicks up every single year. It keeps going up. Keeps going up. All right, I started off this segment talking about Blagojevich and, you know, what kind of a sentence should he get. The prosecutors are going to go for the jugular. They'll make an example of him and go for at least 15. They would love it if it was 20. Oh, if they could get 20 on Blago, would they be more than satisfied? I'm not so certain they get that, but they might get the 15. We talk about frivolous lawsuits, and then we talk about lawsuits that pack a punch. Do you remember the story about the ESPN reporter, Aaron Andrews, who was being pursued or stalked or whatever the word is you want to use, by a man who was peeping at her through a hotel room next door to where she was staying. So she filed a lawsuit, and this happened back in 2008 in Nashville, Tennessee. And what the guy did was he messed with a peephole so he could shoot video, actually, of her. And then, of course, she was nude, and that video popped up all over the place until some of the sites or some of the places where you could see it were shut down. So there was a lawsuit that was filed finally in Tennessee looking for $6 million from Marriott and $4 million from Michael Barrett, who was the guy who got a prison term, actually, for doing that. The lawsuit says that she was a victim of negligence, invasion of privacy, and infliction of emotional distress. She's saying that Barrett made calls to determine if she would be staying there near Vanderbilt University because she would be covering the game, and that was easy to figure out. And she claims that Marriott revealed the room, and Barrett requested a room next door. And they didn't, of course, discover the peephole had been altered either. So that was another thing that was in the lawsuit. And, of course, they're not going to comment on it. They're saying that they've made changes. They're not going to say anything. All they're going to say is that, you know, we're making changes to our guest registration policy to ensure that the guest gets privacy. So he pled guilty in 2009 to a federal stalking charge. He was sentenced to 2.5 years in prison. And this is a guy who is an insurance company guy, an insurance agent, basically. And he posted about 10 videos of her on the internet. And, man, that was everywhere. He was trying to sell. And this is how they found out who he was. Because, of course, greed always gets you, doesn't it? It comes back around to that. He was trying to sell the videos to the celebrity gossip site TMZ in 2009. And TMZ didn't buy any. But the employees of that website helped in investigating by providing some of that information to Andrew's attorney. So actually, shockingly, TMZ helped out in this case. Usually they're trying to get any juicy tidbit they can, any nasty video loop. That's what they do. Dig in trash cans, pop up at the inopportune time when a celebrity doesn't expect to find a stalkerazzi around the corner. That's where they are. But this time, they actually ended up helping her in her case. Whether she'll get that $6 million is a lot. The chain, of course, the Marriott hotel chain can afford it. I think this is the best bet. If I were her attorney, I would think that they're probably going to go for a settlement and not want to discuss anything about it. So I think that she'll get that money and it'll just be settled out of court or something close to that amount of money, let's say, however many millions, all because of this insurance nutball that went wild with a camera and a peephole. We're going to Hollywood next.
If you constantly feel run down and tired, your pH level might be low and your body could be full of toxins. If what you drink is not at a pH level of 8 or higher, you are inviting bacteria and acid to thrive in your body. But there is something you can do. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH drops to your water to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise your pH balance to optimum levels. AlkaVision Plasma pH drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals in the world, alkalizing the water you drink, ridding your body of acidic waste and toxins, and helping you regain energy and vibrant health. And studies show viruses, bacteria, and toxins cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH drops at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
What happened, man? You used to be energetic, happy, and wow, did the ladies love you. Now you fall asleep on the couch, irritable, and out of shape. Don't be that guy. Call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male, a natural supplement shown to raise testosterone by 50% and maintain healthy, normal levels. No injections, no appointments. With healthy testosterone levels, you can feel that energy again, that great outlook again, and yes, even a healthy sex drive. Right now, you can try Ageless Male risk-free. There's nothing to lose, guys. If you're a man who's noticed changes in your body, your mood, your sex life, call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male. Be the guy you used to be. Just call 1-888-246-0623. Don't wait another day. Just call 1-888-246-0623. Again, 1-888-246-0623.
Solar power.
Solar power.
Hand crank power.
Hand crank power.
Radio power.
Radio power.
The goods you want, the good deals you need to power up your survival are at 21stCenturyGoods.com. In our solar department, you'll find solar generator kits, solar lanterns, flashlights, radios, and solar cell phone and laptop chargers. 21stCenturyGoods.com is your hand-cranked headquarters for everything from generators to flashlights to emergency, weather, and shortwave radios by Grundig and Kato. Big brand names and big deals. Like this. Get a free solar flashlight with every order over $75. But hurry, offer ends soon. Go to 21stCenturyGoods.com, spelled the number 2, the number 1, ST, CenturyGoods.com. That's 21stCenturyGoods.com, or call 866-999-8422. 21stCenturyGoods.com. Power up your survival.
Utopiasilver.com believes, as the Declaration of Independence states, that our rights come from God, not from government. The only lawful purpose of any government is to protect and secure the rights of the people, and no man or government has the authority to take what has been given to us by God. Among these rights are life, liberty, property, and the pursuit of happiness. And America's government has ceased to be the protector of liberty and of the people's God-given rights. But we the people can return America to greatness if we are willing to stand up and reassert our stolen rights. We ask that you join Utopia Silver in changing America's course in history. To save on health care and improve your health, call Utopia Silver at 888-213-4338. For a limited time, new customers will receive 50% off all colloidal silver and colloidal gold supplements. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com. Or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338.
The holidays mean one thing in the world of sports. Lots of college football. 70 teams and 35 bowl games. Where did it all start? That's next on Sports Shorts with me, the Sports Princess.
This Your Family Today tip is brought to you by Tombstone Pizza. With multiple varieties to choose from, there's a Tombstone Pizza that's sure to please your family. What do you want on your tombstone? Family dinner is important, but who says it has to be at the table? When life gets busy and the pressure is on, pull out the good paper plates and settle in for pizza and a movie. It's fun, easy, and memorable for the whole family. For more tips like these, visit us at parenthood.com/yourfamilytoday.
The first of the games of the season, December 17th, the New Mexico Bowl pits Temple against Wyoming. Then my alma mater, Ohio, will take on Utah State in Boise, Idaho. The first ever bowl game took place in 1902. Michigan beat Stanford 49-0 in the Rose Bowl. In fact, the use of the word bowl comes from that stadium in Anaheim. Why? Because it's shaped like a bowl. By the 30s, you had the Rose, Cotton, Orange, and Sugar Bowls. Fast forward to 98 and the formation of the Bowl Championship Series formed by the NCAA to crown a true college champ. But over the years, there's been plenty of controversy on whether you truly always get the best two teams vying to be crowned number one. There's been an outcry for a playoff system among many college football fans. Until then, all the eyes of the world will be on New Orleans January 9th when LSU and Alabama meet in the championship game. I'm the Sports Princess with Sports Shorts. A scene from the hot new movie coming out called The Artist. Why is it just music? Because it's a silent flick. Oh, silent movies. What would that be like to sit and watch it? Stephen Shohat, our man in Hollywood, he comes on with us each and every week. He is the author of Hollywood Stories, short, entertaining anecdotes about the stars and legends of the movies. Boy, we hearken back to a different era. Hey, how are you, Stephen?
Hey, I'm great, Kate. How are you?
So a silent movie. We just, you know, there's no clip to play other than a little bit of the music from the movie. And this is supposed to be one that might win Best Picture?
It's possible. It was great. It was great. It's definitely my favorite movie of the year. And of course, one thing that the filmmakers did, which is pretty smart, if you're going to make a silent movie, make it about silent movies. And it was the most poignant time probably in Hollywood history for the majority of the people in the industry when the silent films ended and the talking films began. And they have two characters in the movie, the two main characters. One is his name is George Valentine, his character name, played by the actor, the French actor Jean Dujardin. But he really is based on Douglas Fairbanks, probably more than anybody else. And Fairbanks at the time was this enormously culturally influential person. I mean, just for example, when he played Robin Hood, the Douglas Fairbanks Robin Hood, he did these amazing stunts with trampolines and hanging from drawbridges, but he was always smiling and he looked so happy and he looked like he was defying gravity, like he was a bird in flight. And 16 years later, in 1938, he was the inspiration for the development of the character Superman. And also, when he played in The Mark of Zorro, he came up with the idea of this sort of ninny character who's rich in the daytime and seems ineffectual, but at nighttime he puts on this mask and becomes this great Avenger. And that was partially the inspiration for the character of Batman. So Fairbanks is still around influencing famous characters in the culture today. And the female character was sort of based on Joan Crawford from the early silent days when she was a dancer. And it just is really a magical film. It's a combination of Sunset Boulevard and A Star is Born. And it was just, I mean, it's really unique. And they've got really good actors in it on the side, like Malcolm McDowell and John Goodman. And I think people really enjoy it. I mean, who knows? It might not be everybody's cup of tea, but I'm really high on the film.
Yeah, I saw, the clip of it, and it looked fascinating. I do have to say that. And you know what? You have to be some actor, I think, because of what we're used to now. You have to be some actor to pull it off. So I'm going to say, you mentioned some of the actors. They had to be pretty darn good in this, were they?
Yeah, they're just outstanding, and of course the director has to do a great job too. And that was such an amazing time period, the time period it covers, because you think about what happened at that time. All the movie theaters, they had to be rewired for sound. You tended to have, I mean, I wasn't there, but you tended to have audiences who were very loud, who would do their own thing, who would yell at, when they watched something like The Perils of Pauline or something like that. Now suddenly everybody's quiet because they want to hear every word. One of the stories was the Marx Brothers, when they got into the movies, they made this picture in 1929 called Coconut, The Coconuts. And they were a little bit long in the tooth. They'd been in vaudeville for many years, and they were unknown to movie audiences. And the director didn't think they were funny at all. Robert Flory, he kept criticizing them. And by the end of the movie, they lost their confidence, and they wanted to buy the film back and burn it. Well, Paramount Studios denied them their request and released the movie, and a lot of people said that Groucho Marx talked so fast that people wanted to go see it four or five times just so they could catch every word, and the Marx Brothers ended up being big stars. And of course, you had other elements involved with that too. I mean, you had silent films were largely made outside in wide open spaces. Mm-hmm. The actors could make as much noise as they wanted. Well, suddenly the studios had to get bigger because now you're making movies indoors and everybody has to be quiet on the set. So it was a total change in lifestyle. So suddenly you had people descending on Los Angeles with Ouija boards and fortune tellers because nobody knew what was going to happen next, and a lot of people who were making enormous amounts of money were absolutely terrified and wanted to have people, sometimes charlatans, tell them the future. So there were a lot of things going on in the culture at that time.
So when the transformation too happened from the silent movies to the talkies, as they were calling them in the beginning, Boy, that had to be there had to be a lot of fighting, I would think, to move from silent films into the era of the spoken word on film. How tough was that transition?
Well, it goes person to person. I mean, some people handled it quite well, like Gary Cooper, for example, moved into talking films quite well. And then other people, they have a scene in The Artist where one of the characters actually burns their movies. Well, that's what ended up happening with Mary Pickford, who was in a couple of talking movies, but ended up being embarrassed by her old silent films and burned them. So, a lot of the silent film stars were rich enough. See, that's another thing. When you talk about superstars, I mean, the silent films, they traveled around the world. One of the things that really helped L.A. become a major city was World War I, because it cut off the overseas movie market. It cut down the European movie market.
Right.
So suddenly there was a vacuum of movies in Europe. The Hollywood fulfilled the entertainment for them, and suddenly the movies were big not only in America but in around the world. And since most of the movies were being made in L.A., L.A. became a boom town, and the stars were just making enormous money. I mean, their movies were almost guaranteed to go everywhere, and they're making like $1 million a year at a time when the average house in L.A. cost $2,000. Some of them just chose not to go forward with their careers when the talking movies came along, like Mary Pickford, just basically living out her years being a producer at United Artists Studios, drank quite a bit, and just had the money to become sort of reclusive, because they just didn't want to continue with it anymore. Now, you had other things too. You had actors coming off the stage, and a lot of them could speak, but they couldn't really move very well. And so after a while, the audience got kind of bored with just actors just standing there talking. So then the thought was, well, let's get guys who are physical and who can move, and we'll teach them how to talk. And an example of that would be a young John Wayne, former football player from USC, who was a very graceful guy and over time became better and better delivering dialogue. So, and also there were things like they wondered if the audience would accept certain things. Like whenever you had music at first, they always tried to have an orchestra in the background on the screen to explain where the music was coming from. And it took a while for them just to have overdubbed music. And in fact, there's a story about Alfred Hitchcock. When he was making the movie Lifeboat, he was talking to one of the music people, and then they said, "Oh, Mr. Hitchcock, what kind of music do you want in this movie?" And he said, "Well, my dear fellow, I have 7 people on the lifeboat. If I have music, the audience will say, 'Where did the music come from?'" And the guy said, "Well, Mr. Hitchcock, if you tell us where the camera comes from, we'll tell you where the music comes from."
Do you think this movie with more word of mouth gets to become a little silent hit?
I do. I think it's going to be, I the audience was pretty crowded. Every show was a sellout show. So, we had to reserve our tickets. I got that good feeling. I haven't had it since I saw the King's Speech last year. So who knows? I'm better at the past than I am at the future, but I think it will have a shot to win Best Picture. I really do.
Wow, how interesting. Now I want to go run out and see it. Stephen Shohead, Hollywood Stories, short entertaining anecdotes about the stars and legends of the movies. You can pick up the book, Barnes & Noble, of course, Amazon.com. Stephen, thanks so much. We'll talk to you next week.
You got it, Kate.
All right, silent movies. I'm telling you got to see the trailer for this thing. And because this is radio, we can't really give you the trailer. But you can go check it out for yourself if you just Google it. It looks to be pretty interesting, I have to say. I'm going to agree with Steven on this one. Don't know if it'll be up for Best Picture, but I think it's pretty clever. I definitely will put it on my list for sure. Your mail in just a few minutes.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
You can't argue with success. And many people have found great success in fighting back colds and flu viruses with Ali-C, the world's best garlic extract. So now, it's time to get even more success with the other great quality natural products from Affinity Health Products. Like C-Energy Liquid Vitamins, Lose and Snooze, and the One Day Diet. Or Human Growth Hormone Support, Menopause Specialist for Women, and Joint Specialist. See these and many other quality Affinity Health Products for men and women online at AffinityHealthProducts.com. That's A-F-F-I-N-I-T-Y HealthProducts.com. Or call in your orders at 877-888-7126. That's 1-877-888-7126. Trust your health to the makers of Ali-C, the world's best garlic extract. Affinity Health Products, the finest and most innovative natural health products available.
Jason Lewis here. With the holidays just around the corner, be sure to consider the greatest gift you can give to your friends and family. Peace of mind. That's why I choose WiseFoodStorage.com. WiseFoodStorage.com offers delicious ready-made meals like cheesy lasagna, savory stroganoff, and pasta alfredo that are packaged for freshness in individual metal Mylar pouches and carry a 25-year shelf life, and they're ready to eat in minutes. Simply add hot water. Request a free entree sample today at WiseFoodStorage.com, and for a limited time, get free shipping and 10% off of your order. That's right, a free entree, free shipping, and 10% off any order. Just use promo code Lewis. Call 855-FOODWISE. That's 855-366-3947. Or visit wisefoodstorage.com. That's Wise, W-I-S-E, foodstorage.com. Gourmet emergency food at the best price and the greatest gift you can give to the ones you love this holiday season.
Invite you, America, to send me your thoughts. If you want to vent here, go to americatonight.net, click on the drop-down email, and bada-bing, in the words of Tony Soprano, you are in, my friend. So, the mailbag overfloweth, just like I was a female Santa Claus. Let's run there now.
You have mail, mistress.
Ooh, thank you very much. Okay, let's go to this one first, right off of the top. This is from Tommy D, who says, Kate, I've heard you bang around Ben Bernanke, and at first I thought, what is she talking about? Now I'm kind of in the same boat as you. I have no respect for this guy. I heard you mention once that he was Man of the Year. When was that? When he was born? Ridiculous. Did you see what happened recently? Yeah, the Federal Reserve Chairman, I think is what he's talking about, just this week, was kind of pushing away from reports that the Fed, of course he was, had lent $7.77 trillion or more during the whole financial breakdown, the meltdown, the crisis 2008. And so, you know, because in this report, there were certainly mistakes and problems and everything else. It was very embarrassing, I'm certain, to Bernanke when Bloomberg published an article, and the title of the article was called Secret Fed Loans Gave Banks $13 Billion Undisclosed to Congress. And then there was all kinds of references in there and talked about that number, 777, pretty significant. And that happened to bail out the financial system, you know, when lending limits were added up and all that other sort of stuff. So Bernanke is saying, I think the one thing that he released, because he felt compelled to do that because everybody was hysterical on Capitol Hill, is he sent a letter to those folks saying that the money, the number, and the estimates were not true. They were inaccurate, saying that the Fed credit from its emergency liquidity programs was never, ever more than about $1.5 trillion, and that there's mistakes and errors and problems and all of it. So he's saying that the loans were secret, or that the lawmakers, they are like the lawmakers. They might as well be statues on our front lawns. They were absolutely kept out of all this or in the dark because the central bank announced its emergency programs and then reported info about them to Congress and the public. So yes, of course. But he's disputing that, saying that's not true, that Congress knew what was going on, knew about the volume of borrowing by those large banks, that this is baloney. And so he's hot under the collar about the $13 billion, that's another number that was thrown around, of income that the banks supposedly reaped. That's the money that they ended up sucking in by taking advantage of the below market rates, right? So they ended up making money. We know this story. We're the taxpayers, after all. So we were kept in the dark, too, until suddenly everybody started to bail because their pockets were lined with the new gold. Remember, the Fed was instructed by the Dodd-Frank financial reform law to divulge borrowing from other lending programs that they created to stabilize financial markets when we had that meltdown in 2008-2009. So now it comes out that major banks had been big beneficiaries from some of those programs. Of course they were. They took advantage. And you have to remember, it's portrayed so well in a movie that was done, I want to say it was on HBO, Too Big to Fail, you know, taking that phrase, banks too big to fail. And there's all kinds of who's who of celebrities playing the parts in this movie, but who cares about that? It's more about that this is a pretty accurate portrayal, I think, of what we didn't know, what was happening, ultimately what was going to happen to the money, and the fact that there were no strings attached. So, good email. Glad that you found the light, and you don't think I'm crazy, and Ben Bernanke is a fool, because I don't get it. I mean, he gets all this respect, and sure, if he made a few numbers didn't add up or made a few bogus mistakes but had done some amazing things through the financial crisis, and I'm going to disagree. I don't think he did. I think it's pretty apparent that they just rushed around almost putting glue wherever they could, and unfortunately for all of us, it was not to our benefit. It was definitely to the benefit of the banks, though. Whether you were bleeding or not, you had to take the money. So if you weren't in trouble, I guess it was good because you had extra money sitting there. If you were in trouble, it was the bailout you needed, and then you made money on top of that. So, geez, that turns out pretty good. I'd love to be bailed out when I'm in trouble. Would you love to be bailed out when you're in trouble? I'm being, of course, sarcastic, and we all know this, and we've already been down this road 100 times. But, yes, Ben Bernanke acting stunned and like a petulant child that it's not true is a bunch of nonsense. Certainly not. All right, here's one from Andrew who says, Kate, I know you're into the NFL. You do that nail the score thing. I promise before the season's up, I'm going to call to participate. But I don't know if you saw this or not. You keep in touch with the money scene pretty well. How about the NFL and what they want to do with their TV deals? Did you happen to see any of that? Well, of course, greed is good, not just for the banks, but for the NFL as well. Yeah, the NFL is close to an 8-year extension of 3 media rights deals. Because remember, where are the football games being aired? What they'll get is about $3.2 billion a year from the broadcast partners, whether it's ESPN or NBC or CBS, whoever. It's a 60% increase over what 60% increase over what the prior contract was. That's incredible. 60%. What a sweet deal. It shows you just how valuable NFL rights are for broadcasters. I mean, viewing sports is big, and viewing high-profile stuff is big, especially the NFL. What did I say just the other night? That the NFL, for people who listen to talk radio, is the number one sport that they watch if they're going to watch any sports. The deal would last through 2021. 2021. And it includes not just the usual suspects like ESPN, but DirecTV also, because they've got a kick in this. They've got shows, and they have things that they're showing too as well. And, of course, the fees for the deal for Monday Night Football, $15.2 billion. $15.2 billion. How does that break down per possible viewer of any of those telecasts? You know, none of these networks, if you're a network executive and this is your job, you're not going to take the risk of losing football. You're not going to get into a battle with cable and satellite people. If you're on one of the traditional networks, you're not going to do that because you can't risk the black eye. Once you lose football, you might not be able to get it back. That's why they were able, because they know it. They were in the best seat in the house, the We Gotcha seat. So the We Gotcha seat means you can throw out any number you want, and you're guaranteed that you're probably going to get it because you know you have them. If they don't want it, then somebody else is going to snap it up before you can say boo. $3.2 billion a year through 2021. What do you think those commercials are going to be on some of these, like on satellite? What do you think the commercials are going to be? I'm going to have to say, at least the commercials for the Super Bowl are going to be pretty expensive. Because to pay for those deals, man, you're going to have to really work it. Those sales guys are going to be working overtime. But then again, what is their commission for those 60, 30-second spots and the like that they're selling? Must be nice. That's a good place to be.
Hey, we got 3 hours left on this thing, and I can't drive and argue with you rubes all at the same time?
Boy, that escalated quickly. I mean, that really got out of hand fast.
Is this a business decision, or is it personal? Because if it's business, I'll go away happily. But if it's personal, I'll go away. But I won't be happy. It's personal.